Live from the Palazzo broadcast studios at the Palazzo Las Vegas, this is Game Night with Matt Perrault on SB Nation Radio.
Game Night on a Monday. We are chasing Luke Thomas from MMAfighting.com. Once we land him, we'll throw him on talking about UFC 200. We spent the opening line talking about what happened with Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, but that's not really the whole story of what happened Saturday night. And it's actually not totally fair, even though that was an epic fight and the greatest fight I've ever seen. It was the greatest fight I've ever seen, period. It was by far the greatest fight I've ever seen in person, but it was the best fight I've ever seen, period. And the fight before it between Glover Teixeira and Anthony Rumble Johnson took all of 13 seconds. But it was a rocking 13 seconds by Anthony Rumble Johnson, who looks like he is heading into a title rematch with Daniel Cormier with all cylinders firing, and a brutal uppercut that caught Glover Teixeira perfectly, knocked him out, knocked him to the point where he was not capable of really understanding where he was. When he came to finally, he tried to essentially submit the doctor because he thought he was still fighting. So that's how hard he was hit. That's how hard of a blast Teixeira took. And look, Cody Garbrandt had a hell of a knockout. That was the headliner of the FS1 card. He had a hell of a knockout that sets up for him an opportunity to fight Dominic Cruz at bantamweight for the championship next. We'll see where that fight winds up going, but that's a good fight that potentially could happen. And just an unbelievable, really, really fun night. Let's go to the Progressive Insurance Limited guest line. Luke Thomas, senior editor, MMAfighting.com, joining us. Luke, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, let's talk about the overall night. UFC 202 was unbelievable. What were some of your reactions and takeaways from the entire night?
Jeez, well, the event overall was great. I think most fans would probably say that the pay-per-view itself was worth their money. You got four finishes, and then the only fight you didn't get a finish on went the full distance, and it went the full distance in a way that was compelling and literary almost in a way. Like, one of the major complaints some boxing fans have of MMA is that the main events, they don't necessarily take on this character where they do in boxing, where you have 12 rounds where a story can unfold and it can twist and it can turn. There's a plot. MMA fights often don't have that. This one did. So for me, it was any number of different things you could say about McGregor and Diaz, but I think just as an observer, it was one of these rare fights that has the ability to have a story and a narrative be told about it.
In your opinion, did the judges score it correctly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a big misconception about MMA judging. They think that when a fight is over, there is one scorecard that a person should reasonably be able to come to. And that's just not true. Oftentimes, you can get two scorecards, both of which are defensible. Sometimes you can even get three. It really is not that crazy. So for me, I had it 48-47, which two of the judges did. One of the judges had it 47-47. And the reason why is because they gave a third round 10-8 to Nate Diaz. If you look at the rounds in terms of who outstruck who, Nate Diaz outstruck McGregor more in that round than McGregor did in any of the other rounds to Nate Diaz. For me personally, that's not enough, but I can see why a judge did that.
Yeah, I just agree. I don't think you can have a 10-8 round without a knockdown. That's just my personal opinion. So I really didn't like the 10-8 round that was handed to Nate Diaz. I thought it should have been a unanimous decision for Conor McGregor, not a split decision. But today we learned that the Nevada Athletic Commission has come out and said that McGregor has a medical stop for 6 months to get the shin healed. Do you think, from what you guys are hearing at MMA Fighting, that it's that length of time to heal from this injury?
No. So the way these medical suspensions work is that the 6 months will last unless you go to a doctor and the doctor clears you before that time. So in this particular case, it's a shin, but a common one could be, maybe a guy got knocked out or something, right? Or stopped via strikes. They'll say, hey, you're suspended for X amount of time, but if you can go to a doctor and get like a brain scan or an MRI or, a neurologist to clear you, they'll let you go back typically before a certain amount of time. There might be even a window in there where you have to meet a minimum standard, but these 6 months, 9 months, these are just the maximal projections.
Right. So where's your appetite, Luke, when it comes to Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz 3? We know it's going to happen, but when do you think it happens?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? It's not that there's not going to happen. There's just too much demand for it. The question is, how do you time it right? I mean, look, here's a real basic way to look at this for me, which is Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor just went through a war. I mean, a war. You can't really go through too many of those. They both just made a lot of money. As you mentioned, Conor McGregor has some medical issues to work out. I'm sure Nate Diaz does as well, even though they're both very, very tough. I would like to see them take time off. Now, Nate's probably going to take more than Conor.
Yeah.
Conor's services are a little bit more in demand generally, especially since he holds a belt in a different weight class. So for me, if they want to come and do this again in a year, right, to celebrate the anniversary of it, I think that would make sense. Maybe even a little bit longer than that, 18 months or so. But I believe that there's just unfinished business he needs to get to. He needs to decide if he's a featherweight or not. If he is, you need to fight Jose Aldo. If you're not, you need to let go of that belt and go do something else. They can always come back to this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And to be honest with you, that's what I want. I want some time to let that breathe a little bit and let us appreciate the two fights that we just witnessed and then come back to it whenever it is appropriate, whenever Conor is through whatever he needs to get through. Or, I've heard today, had him fight Eddie Alvarez at 155, have him win that belt, and then fight Nate. Nate can get a title shot off Conor McGregor, and you have that fight being epic and huge. Could that happen?
It's an embarrassment of riches. I actually spoke to Eddie Alvarez today, and he is not sure exactly what's going to happen, but he was adamant that that Conor McGregor fight should be his. And there's other ways you could go about it too, right? Like, here's another permutation. I think yours is a great idea. What about this? What about if you go down and you have Conor McGregor fight Jose Aldo, in one way or another, if Don Cerrone, who called out Eddie Alvarez, gets the fight,
yeah.
Conor McGregor, win or lose with the title, can then go up to 155, and either A, he faces Alvarez, or B, Cerrone, who he's had bad blood with, and that'd be a good fight. So, like, there's a lot of really cool, to your point, that's why you just don't want to rush this Diaz trilogy.
Yeah, I agree. Luke, do you think he goes back to 145? Because I've maintained that he's never going to see 145 again.
That's what a lot of people on the inside are telling me. I'm not sure how much I buy that. Here's more the way I look at that. If what's today, the 22nd on Monday, August of 2016, if we look back on this day and we find out, we discover 10 years down the road, McGregor never went back to featherweight, that wouldn't surprise me. However, if the sport changes so quickly, and if it winds up being that somehow a featherweight contest is the best one for him, to maximize his dollar value or to have the biggest event, I think his criteria will change. Right now, featherweight is very much a back burner, almost a liability that he has to address.
Yeah.
When that fortune changes, I think so will his calculation. So it's just hard to imagine that right now. And again, no doubt about it, that featherweight cut is brutal. However, just never say never.
Hmm. Luke, I got about a minute left. The headliner for the New York card in November will include which fight in your mind? Anthony Johnson versus Daniel Cormier and potentially Conor McGregor on the ticket as well?
Maybe, because they don't have a big fight for it. That's certainly possible, but I think it's unlikely. I think Conor McGregor is about to start exercising some demands about some cards he wants to be on. Maybe if he wants to be on that, he'll do it. I also think you should expect a rematch between Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold. Look out for that one as well on that card. I know for a fact Chris Weidman's going to be on it. That's probably the matchup that makes the most sense. So, hard to say, but well, here's one thing you can say. It won't include Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, unbelievably. We all thought that was going to be happen, but it looks like that's not going to go down for Ronda. And will we ever see Ronda again in the UFC? That's still very much a question. Luke, good stuff, bud. Really appreciate the time. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
That's Luke Thomas, senior editor for MMA Fighting SB Nation, here on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Ronda Rousey, where will she fight ever, if ever again? I don't think she's going to fight in the UFC again. Those are two things that I've maintained for a while, and I'll be honest, I could be dead wrong on both. I don't believe Conor McGregor fights at 145. I don't believe Ronda Rousey fights in the UFC ever again. Those are just the two opinions I have. I mean, I have no inside knowledge. Those are straight, you know, call them hot takes if you want, call them off the cuff guesses. That's what it is. I just don't think Conor's going to go down and make that cut. I think his coach has been pretty clear. I mean, his coach said Conor McGregor in the fourth round TKO against Nate Diaz. That's why I took Conor to win in five, because even his own team was saying, we're prepping for four rounds. And I said, okay, they're going five. And they did. That's the only way they were going to win that fight, is on the scores. And then with Ronda, she's doing far too many modeling in movies, in my opinion, to be actually motivated to get in there and get punched. More to come. It's Game Night live in Las Vegas on a Monday night here on SB Nation Radio.